It's much better to be uneasy now than be in torment in the afterlife. Better to be uneasy now than in torment in the afterlife. This past week, last Sunday through Wednesday, I attended an international stewardship conference with seven of our good stewards here, the parish leaders in Dallas. And Archbishop Jakels, he's the Bishop of Dubuque now. He was our former bishop, as you know. He is the moderator for the International Catholic Stewardship Conference. And so he celebrated the first Mass, and he gave a very good homily. And he spoke about a type of uneasiness that we need to have in our soul. Kind of like he didn't use these words, but like a holy uneasiness. He gave the example of how, you know, when it comes to stewardship, we talk about the way we express stewardship through time, talent, and treasure. And he says that some people would come to him and ask him, well, you know, we have to tithe, okay, we have to give 10%. Does that mean 10% of our net or our gross? And he said that would always frustrate him. He shared with me later, that's a pet peeve of his. And the reason he said that is because usually when we're asking that question, we're trying to get to the point where we can say, okay, well, I'm okay now, right? I've made my commitment. I'm right in the eyes of God. And so what he is saying, what Archbishop Jakels was saying, is that there needs to be an uneasiness that constantly remains with us, within us, that we're not okay. Because what happens is, you know, we become like the Pharisees and scribes. We check off, you know, all of the requirements. We fulfilled all of the obligations. So we're self-righteous. We're okay. And you think about what happens then when we get to that point where we're like, oh, we're fulfilling the obligations, we're okay. Well, we begin to become like the Israelites. How were they? What did we hear that in that first line from the first reading? They became complacent. They became complacent. They took things for granted. They became presumptuous, right? And then they started to ignore the commands of God and the way that God had revealed to them. And so God was getting ready to bring about, bring them into exile, that they would be moving into slavery. The rich man, he was eating sumptuously each day, right? He was dressed in fine linens, in purple. And here's Lazarus at his door, a poor beggar. Even the dogs were, you know, licking his sores. And he didn't even recognize him. He became complacent. In the responsorial psalm, we hear about all of these different groups of people that are very vulnerable in society and how God sees them and how we are to have the heart of God when it comes to these people. And so a huge list, really, in that responsorial psalm. We hear about the hungry, the oppressed, the enslaved, the blind, strangers, fatherless, the widows. So many groups that we need to have a holy uneasiness about, in the sense that, no, we're not doing enough. We really can never do enough. And when we're kind of in that place where we're not content with what we have done, we allow ourselves to be open to constant conversion rather than being closed, and which leads to complacency and a hardening of heart. Holy uneasiness now versus torment in eternal life. I'll take the holy uneasiness, thank you, right? So there is something about knowing that you're not right in the eyes of God, that there needs to be more. There needs to be dependency. There needs to be an openness. We talk about all of these different groups of people that we're called to care about. We might consider how we understand ourselves as church. I don't know how many of you spent some time reading Pope Francis's interview with the Italian reporter a couple weeks ago. Very controversial. He talked about his vocation, his life, but he also got into some issues on homosexuality and abortion and contraception. And some of the Pope's remarks were shocked people. And one of the remarks that he made in regard to homosexual marriage was connected to his interview that he made as he was flying back from Rio on World Youth Day. You know that line, "Who am I to judge?" You're probably familiar with. But in that interview, he talks about that we can't reduce the church to like three issues: homosexual marriage, contraception, and abortion. It's much broader than that. And what often happens, and we probably know, is like we get into kind of political camps. So, if you're on the left, then you're concerned with, the poor, right, and education. If you're on the right, you're concerned, with the sanctity of marriage and pro-life when it comes to abortion. But what the Pope's kind of making the challenge there is really that we have to be careful about becoming singular in the way that we see our own mission and assisting the most vulnerable in society. Because ultimately, on Judgment Day, it's going to be how did we relate to Christ as he was present in the vulnerable, in the weakest members of our society, across the entire spectrum. It's easy to put ourselves into one camp and then, we're doing well there, right? And so we become complacent and self-righteous. We need to be stirred up. We need to be challenged. We need a holy uneasiness to keep stretching us. That's kind of what Pope Francis is doing, I think. He's really stretching us, you might say. Or a different way of kind of seeing ourselves. You know what model he used for the church? He said to look at the church as a field hospital. Wow. Right? A field hospital where people find healing, where people find salvation. And he made a very astute remark when he said, we need to go back to the core of our message, which is we are saved by Christ, and then let it begin to grow from there again. This coming Sunday, or next Sunday, we begin Respect Life Week. And usually, we think about Respect Life in regards to maybe euthanasia or abortion. But we have to remember, Respect Life covers the spectrum. Every group of people that we heard about in the responsorial psalm. And all of us have a call there. All of us are called to do more. All of us are called to have a holy uneasiness within us. And that holy uneasiness is really a blessing, because without it, we become complacent. And without that holy uneasiness, we may find ourselves like that rich young man who finds himself after this life in torment without hope.